Pitch swung on, hit a mile high to deep right center field. Way back, going, and long gone. Goodbye. There it is. Bang, zoom. The first home run pulled by James Wood of the major leagues. Over the wall in right center field. His fifth home run of the year, RBI number 28.
417 feet, by the way, to right center. The first one pulled of the five home runs this year. Charlie Slows on the call yesterday. The Nats avoided a four-game sweep. That homer came in the ninth to give the Nats a 6-4 lead. They held on for a 6-4 win over the Phillies. In that game, by the way, K-Bear Ruiz homered again. That's the third time in four games. And C.J. Abrams stole three bases in the game. This segment of the show is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's get to some Denton news.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right. Good win for the Nats. What a shot that was from Wood.
I mean, he blasted that one. And I like what you alluded to there. Kiefer Ruiz having a lot of success at the plate recently. C.J. Abrams stealing a bunch of bags yesterday. And James Wood hitting that monster homer. I mean, the young guys are playing really well. It almost felt like Kiefer Ruiz was maybe lost a little bit in the shuffle when we talked about the new guys. But to see him playing well. And then eventually, Kevin, I don't know when. I'm hoping soon. But we'll get a taste of Dylan Cruz up at the big leagues. I mean, there's a lot to be optimistic about for the Nats.
Yeah. By the way, with all those stolen bases yesterday, they retook the lead on the season. They have stolen more bases than any team in the bigs. They started off that way. Then they kind of moved back and they were kind of top five-ish, but they are leading the major leagues in stolen bases with 170 on the season. And the three stolen bases in one game, he tried to steal a fourth and got picked off at second. They like to run, and look, this year is not their year by a long shot. But James Wood and some of these young players certainly encouraging for the future. What else?
So you might be stuck a little bit between a rock and a hard place in Atlanta. Raheem Morris said today that the reason Michael Penix didn't play in preseason game number two is because they've already seen what they needed to in preseason game number one. Now, the expectation is that your boy, you know who, is going to be ready to go for week one, but there's been nothing official about whether or not he's going to go week one. I just found these comments to be very, very unique from a guy in Raheem Morris who has two quarterbacks that he's seemingly confident in.
Penix Jr. in the preseason game, who'd they play the other night? Did they play the Ravens?
I believe it was the Ravens. Yeah. I'm not up to date.
So
on
who
the
played quarterback for them? Taylor Heineke? Is Heineke still in the league?
Yeah, he had a Zinn in his back pocket at some point this weekend. I don't know if it was while he was playing or when he's on the sideline, but I saw that picture go viral.
But he is playing. Is he playing for the Falcons?
Yeah, he's still on that roster.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is odd. I didn't know that. I didn't. The first game they had, I mean, you saw what we saw at Washington last year. A dude that stands tall in the pocket, and it is a lightning quick. I mean, it's, I hate to say this because it's the all-time release, but it's Marino-esque as a left-hander, how quickly the ball is out and how accurately he throws it. He throws a great deep ball as well. I thought Jaden Daniels and Penix Jr. threw the best deep balls in college football last year. That is interesting. You would have thought that he would have played. It's possible. I mean, before the preseason started, Raheem Morris was clear that they were not going to play Kirk Cousins at all in the preseason. I would imagine, just in reading about some of these different teams, especially the ones, and I've followed a lot of the rookie quarterback situations, apparently Cousins has had a super sharp camp, but that Penix Jr. has as well. I think Kirk is ready to go for the Falcons in the opener. I think the bigger question is, what are the Steelers going to put out there? Because that's who their week one opponent is. Will it be Fields or Wilson? Russell Wilson apparently looked horrible the other this
awful
weekend. They played the Bills, and he took three sacks and a quarter. and just made one, you know, wrong decision after another. Let me give you one perspective on Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson. Let me ask you a question first. Tomlin has essentially said it'll be Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah, they said that very early this offseason. Yeah.
Russ is 36. How old is he now?
He's in his mid-30s, mid to late 30s. I don't know if
Russ is not the dynamic playmaker he once was. He just isn't. And Justin Fields is. Like, for me, if I were a Steelers fan, I would say the downsides for both of them, the flaws are they hold on to the ball, they take too many sacks, they don't process quickly enough, they don't see it quickly enough, and that's why. Because Russell Wilson's been taking sacks his entire career. Right? But as a younger player, he was so dynamic as a playmaker and as an off-schedule quarterback. He was as good as we've ever seen, you know, for a few of those years. I mean, he was a great quarterback because of his off-schedule playmaking ability. And by the way, just as a scrambler or as a designed runner or as a read option runner, outstanding, incredible vision and feel. For space as a runner. But for me, if I'm a Pittsburgh fan and I'm going to get two guys that in the drop back game are going to struggle, I'm going with Justin Fields. Because Justin Fields is a dynamic playmaking athlete who is still young and makes a lot of plays. You know, for the sacks he takes, for the bad throws he makes, he also makes a lot of plays. I wouldn't even, I mean, if I were a Steelers fan, I would desperately want Justin Fields out there in the opener. And if they go with Wilson, it would be a quick hook with Russ if he's taking sacks. Man, what is it about the Steelers and offensive football in the last several years? I mean, we'll see what happens in the regular season. But, you know, they don't have dynamic playmakers all over the field, and their best playmaker would be Justin Fields. By far, the best playmaker they would have had on the field playing that position since Roethlisberger was there. And, of course, his playmaking was with his arm. I'd go with Justin Fields if I were the Steelers. They have a great defense. And adding the quarterback to the run game, which is what they could do with Justin Fields, that's what I would do. By the way, why am I blanking? It's Arthur Smith. Who's the OC?
Yeah, it's Arthur
Smith. So you can go straight dual threat quarterback with Justin Fields and Arthur Smith. This is what he does. This is when he made Ryan Tannehill, you know, really good in Tennessee when he was there. I'll be shocked. I didn't think Wilson was as bad as a lot of people did last year, but once again, took too many sacks. Took 45 sacks. He took 100 sacks in 2 years in Denver. 100.
It'd be great if he was playing basketball. All right, I got one more story for you because I want to end the show playing a piece of audio, but we need to break on time for me to do that. How about Colt McCoy retiring from the NFL, and he's going to join NBC's Big Ten coverage. I'll admit the second half of that surprised me a little bit. Texas quarterback not going to the SEC where Texas is, and he's really good on air. I thought ESPN would have given him something, but I'm happy for Colt McCoy. I think he'll be really good in this role.
Where have we seen him on air?
He does some stuff. He's done some stuff with Underdog Fantasy, breaking down film of quarterbacks, and he's done radio with SiriusXM.
I always loved having Colt on the show, and I've reached out to Colt a couple of times in the last couple of years, and just every single time he's been unable to do it. I don't know why. I mean, and I always thought that he was an excellent radio guest. Really nice guy. I think the bottom line is Colt McCoy's career will be remembered for injuries, by the way, an injury in a national championship game, for starters, injury throughout his pro career, and just one of those guys that even if he stayed healthy, you know, it's kind of the same conversation that we've had about Sam Howell, same conversation about Taylor Heinicke. There just was too much limitation to ever becoming a consistent starter in the league. You know who loved him? Jay Gruden loved him. That's for sure. But I think Jay Gruden also knew that there were some limitations with Colt, but he was super smart, really grasped, you know, the offense was great in the quarterback room. Let me just tell you one thing about Colt McCoy. Whenever the RG3 30 for 30 documentary comes out, the guy that knows where all the bodies are buried, Colt McCoy. I mean, I don't know if he'll ever, you know, commit to being the person that ends up, you know, being on camera a lot for that. But he knows where all of the good stuff is. I think he'll be good calling games. I think he'll be good. He's likable.
I don't know if he's going to be calling games or in studio.
Oh, in studio. Big Ten Network.
Yeah, NBC. Now that they
NBC.
Yeah, now that they're launching that.
All right, I'll be interested. We'll be here to talk about how good Colt McCoy is. I bet he'll be pretty good. I'd be surprised if he's not decent at doing this. Here's the thing that these guys need to realize when they get into this line of work, where they're not calling games, but they're on a studio show or they're on, you know, an opinion program. You got to have opinions. You know, you have to have opinions. You have to say what you really believe. And some of that will ruffle feathers with some of the players that you played with or played against. But you gotta go in that direction, or people will think you're just holding too much back and you'll be limited. Anyway, what else? Anything else?
There's a piece of audio I want to play, but we got to do that when we come back. I think you're going to find it very fascinating. It's Tua Tagovailoa talking about his old coach.
We'll do that right after these words from a few of our sponsors. You are listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Pitch swung on, hit a mile high to deep right center field. Way back, going, and long gone, goodbye. There it is, bang, zoom, the first home run pulled by James, one of the major leagues, over the wall in right center field. His fifth home run of the year, RBI number 28.
417 feet, by the way, to right center. The first one pulled of the five home runs this year. Charlie Slows on the call yesterday. The Nats avoided a four-game sweep. That homer came in the ninth to give the Nats a 6-4 lead. They held on for a 6-4 win over the Phillies. In that game, by the way, K-Bear Ruiz homered again. That's the third time in four games. And C.J. Abrams stole three bases in the game. This segment of the show is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's get to some Denton news.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right. Good win for the Nats. What a shot that was from Wood.
I mean, he blasted that one. And I like what you alluded to there. Kiefer Ruiz having a lot of success at the plate recently. C.J. Yeah. Abrams stealing a bunch of bags yesterday. And James Wood hitting that monster homer. I mean, the young guys are playing really well. It almost felt like Kiefer Ruiz was maybe lost a little bit in the shuffle when we talked about the new guys, but to see him playing well. And then eventually, Kevin, I don't know when, I'm hoping soon, but we'll get a taste of Dylan Cruz up at the big leagues. I mean, there's a lot to be optimistic about for the Nats.
Yeah. By the way, with all those stolen bases yesterday, they retook the lead on the season. They have stolen more bases than any team in the bigs. They started off that way. Then they kind of moved back and they were kind of top five-ish, but they are leading the major leagues in stolen bases with 170 on the season. And the three stolen bases in one game, he tried to steal a fourth and got picked off at second. But they like to run, and look, this year is not their year by a long shot. But James Wood and some of these young players certainly encouraging for the future. What else?
So you might be stuck a little bit between a rock and a hard place in Atlanta. Raheem Morris said today that the reason Michael Penix didn't play in preseason game number two is because they've already seen what they needed to in preseason game number one. Now, the expectation is that your boy, you know who, is going to be ready to go for week one, but there's been nothing official about whether or not he's going to go week one. I just found these comments to be very, very unique from a guy in Raheem Morris who has two quarterbacks that he's seemingly confident in.
Penix Jr. in the preseason game. Who'd they play the other night? Did they play the Ravens?
I believe it was the Ravens. Yeah. I'm not up to date
on
who
played quarterback for them? Taylor Heinicke. Is Heinicke still in the league?
Yeah, he had a Zinn in his back pocket at some point this weekend. I don't know if it was while he was playing or when he's on the sideline, but I saw that picture go viral.
But he is playing. Is he playing for the Falcons?
Yeah, he's still on that roster.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is odd. I didn't know that. I didn't. The first game they had, I mean, you saw what we saw at Washington last year. A dude that stands tall in the pocket, and it is a lightning quick. I mean, it's. I hate to say this because it's the all-time release, but it's Marino-esque as a left-hander, how quickly the ball is out and how accurately he throws it. He throws a great deep ball as well. I thought Jaden Daniels and Penix Jr. threw the best deep balls in college football last year. That is interesting. You would have thought that he would have played. It's possible. I mean, before the preseason started, Raheem Morris was clear that they were not going to play Kirk Cousins at all in the preseason. I would imagine, just in reading about some of these different teams, especially the ones, and I've followed a lot of the rookie quarterback situations, apparently Cousins has had a super sharp camp, but that Penix Jr. has as well. I think Kirk is ready to go for the Falcons in the opener. I think the bigger question is, what are the Steelers going to put out there? Because that's who their week one opponent is. Will it be Fields or Wilson? Russell Wilson apparently looked horrible the other this
awful.
Weekend. They played the Bills, and he took 3 sacks and a quarter. And just made one wrong decision after another. Let me give you one perspective on Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson. Let me ask you a question first. Tomlin has essentially said it'll be Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah, they said that very early this offseason. Yeah.
Russ is 36. How old is he now?
He's in his mid-30s, mid to late 30s. I don't know if
Russ is not the dynamic playmaker he once was. He just isn't. And Justin Fields is. Like, for me, if I were a Steelers fan, I would say the downsides for both of them, the flaws are they hold on to the ball, they take too many sacks, they don't process quickly enough, they don't see it quickly enough, and that's why. Because Russell Wilson's been taking sacks his entire career. Right? But as a younger player, he was so dynamic as a playmaker and as an off-schedule quarterback. He was as good as we've ever seen, you know, for a few of those years. I mean, he was a great quarterback because of his off-schedule playmaking ability. And by the way, just as a scrambler or as a designed runner or as a read option runner, outstanding, incredible vision and feel. For space as a runner. But for me, if I'm a Pittsburgh fan and I'm going to get two guys that in the drop back game are going to struggle, I'm going with Justin Fields. Because Justin Fields is a dynamic playmaking athlete who is still young and makes a lot of plays. You know, for the sacks he takes, for the bad throws he makes, he also makes a lot of plays. I wouldn't even, I mean, if I were a Steelers fan, I would desperately want Justin Fields out there in the opener. And if they go with Wilson, it would be a quick hook with Russ if he's taking sacks. Man, what is it about the Steelers and offensive football in the last several years? I mean, we'll see what happens in the regular season, but you know, they don't have dynamic playmakers all over the field, and their best playmaker would be Justin Fields. By far, the best playmaker they would have had on the field playing that position since Roethlisberger was there. And, of course, his playmaking was with his arm. I'd go with Justin Fields if I were the Steelers. They have a great defense. And adding the quarterback to the run game, which is what they could do with Justin Fields, that's what I would do. By the way, why am I blanking? It's Arthur Smith. Who's the OC?
Yeah, it's Arthur
so
Smith.
You can go straight dual threat quarterback with Justin Fields and Arthur Smith. This is what he does. This is when he made Ryan Tannehill, you know, really good in Tennessee when he was there. I'll be shocked. I didn't think Wilson was as bad as a lot of people did last year, but once again, took too many sacks. Took 45 sacks. He took 100 sacks in 2 years in Denver. 100.
Be great if he's playing basketball. All right, I got one more story for you because I want to end the show playing a piece of audio, but we need to break on time for me to do that. How about Colt McCoy retiring from the NFL, and he's going to join NBC's Big Ten coverage? I'll admit the second half of that surprised me a little bit. Texas quarterback not going to the SEC where Texas is, and he's really good on air. I thought ESPN would have given him something, but I'm happy for Colt McCoy. I think he'll be really good in this role.
Where have we seen him on air?
He does some stuff. He's done some stuff with Underdog Fantasy, breaking down film of quarterbacks, and he's done radio with SiriusXM.
I always loved having Colt on the show, and I've reached out to Colt a couple of times in the last couple of years, and just every single time he's been unable to do it. I don't know why. I mean, and I always thought that he was an excellent radio guest. Really nice guy. I think the bottom line is Colt McCoy's career will be remembered for injuries, by the way, an injury in a national championship game, for starters, injury throughout his pro career, and just one of those guys that even if he stayed healthy, you know, it's kind of the same conversation that we've had about Sam Howell, same conversation about Taylor Heinicke. There just was too much limitation to ever becoming a consistent starter in the league. You know who loved him? Jay Gruden loved him. That's for sure. But I think Jay Gruden also knew that there were some limitations with Colt, but he was super smart, really grasped. You know, the offense was great in the quarterback room. Let me just tell you one thing about Colt McCoy. Whenever the RG3 30 for 30 documentary comes out, the guy that knows where all the bodies are buried, Colt McCoy. I mean, I don't know if he'll ever, you know, commit to being the person that ends up, you know, being on camera a lot for that. But he knows where all of the good stuff is. I think he'll be good calling games. I think he'll be good. He's likable.
I don't know if he's going to be calling games or in studio.
Oh, in studio. Big Ten Network.
Yeah, NBC. Now that they
NBC.
Yeah, I know they're launching that.
All right, I'll be interested. We'll be here to talk about how good Colt McCoy is. I bet he'll be pretty good. I'd be surprised if he's not decent at doing this. Here's the thing that these guys need to realize when they get into this line of work, where they're not calling games, but they're on a studio show or they're on, you know, an opinion program. You got to have opinions. You know, you have to have opinions. You have to say what you really believe. And some of that will ruffle feathers with some of the players that you played with or played against. But you got to go in that direction, or people will think you're just holding too much back and you'll be limited. Anyway, what else? Anything else?
There's a piece of audio I want to play, but we got to do that when we come back. I think you're going to find it very fascinating. It's Tua Tagovailoa talking about his old coach.
We'll do that right after these words from a few of our sponsors. You are listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.